Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahadeyan Karavavahai Tejasrinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You know, transcendental errors, like you're quoting one verse, you know, correctly, but the number you give is wrong or something like that. You know, not that you talk about practically every other purport about Brahmins, devotees being Brahmins or higher than Brahmins, and then that's a transcendental mistake.
Yeah, it's a transcendental mistake in understanding.
Yeah,
that's
no,
not,
it's...
That's not how it works.
Okay, page 103. Upon seeing their sons, the mothers of Rama, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, immediately arose, like unconscious bodies returning to consciousness. The mothers placed their sons on their laps and bathed them with tears, thus relieving themselves of the grief of long separation. Right? Here is the son that's gone out, lived in the forest without being eaten by lions, tigers, or bears. In fact, the bears were even assisting him, right? Vriksharaj was, you know, assisting, blowing his trumpet and, you know, doing the whole thing. And then going, winning a battle, which is, you know, Prabhupada mentions of battles, the two greatest battles ever seen is this one, Ram and Ravana, and then Kurukshetra. And then coming back, and then with the moms, then it's just their boys back. You know, so that's it. And they don't come on, mom, I'm a big guy. You know, they don't do that. It's just, they're cool, huh? No, they're cool.
That's bona fide.
It's bona fide, but at the same time, as you know, it also has its time, place, and you know, like this. So, you know, if they have been off, and, you know, like this, and, you know, then they come back. Then yes, you do that. Okay. Okay. Bathing with their tears, thus relieving themselves of the long grief of long separation. The family priest or spiritual master Vasishta had Lord Ramachandra cleanly shaved, freeing him from his matted locks of hair. Because when you go out to the forest, one of the first things you do is just mat the hair. They take the sap from the banyan tree, you know, that white sticky. Then you just take a bunch of hair and then rub that through there, and then the next bunch and more like that. You know, means the Vedic, you get dreadlocks from making it dreadlocks, not by not washing your hair and it turning into dreadlocks. Right? Slightly different. You know, because they would take bath every day. You know, or three times a day, technically. Yeah. Then, with the cooperation of the elderly members of the family, he performed the bathing ceremony, Abhishek, for Lord Ramachandra with the water of the four seas and with other substances, just as it was performed for King Indra. Because when you use the water from the four oceans, that means you're installing the king. Mm-hmm. Lord Ramachandra, fully bathed and his head clean shaven, dressed himself very nicely and was decorated with a garland and ornaments. Thus he shone brightly, surrounded by his brothers and wife, who were similarly dressed and ornamented. Being pleased by the full surrender and submission of Lord Bharata, Lord Ramachandra then accepted the throne of the state. He cared for the citizens exactly like a father, and the citizens, being fully engaged in their occupational duties of Varna and Ashram, accepted him as their father. So that thing, he's engaging them. So here's the Supreme Lord. It's all completely transcendental, the whole position, so they're all engaged like that. Does that make sense? Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 50. People are very fond of the pattern of Ram Raja, and even today politicians sometimes form a party called Ram Raja. But unfortunately, they have no obedience to Lord Ram. It is sometimes said that people want the kingdom of God without God. You know, it's just like, what do you call it? India independence. They wanted the British culture without the British. That was the basic point. So why we need them to, you know, we already figured it out, right?
So now we see the consequences.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's
like
the whole
50
point.
Years later.
Yeah.
50 more.
Yeah, no. Yeah, spend more than 50. Yeah.
So would it be better if they left the British also?
No, it would have been if you remove the British, you remove their culture and go back to your own culture. That's what Swaraj meant. The ability to be able to practice our own culture. But actually, then when it came to that point, then it didn't end up as Swaraj. It just meant, you know, British culture without the British. So basically, Nehru became the head Brit. You know, that was the... Because the point was, The point was they just wanted independence, you know, so they could run the country as they liked. It wasn't actually about, following the Vedic culture. But because most of India was interested in that, you know, the majority. So if you actually want, and none of them, because they're all politicians, each one has a slightly different idea, so they can't actually unite the people, right? So 200 British could control whatever it was, you know, hundreds of millions of Indians with no problem because they're so uncoordinated. Each one fights with the other. But when Gandhi came along, he then, using the thing of going back to their own roots, and because he is, you know, lawyer, he was a good orator, he was, you know, focused and everything like this, then he was able to unite India to get that. But once they got it, then everybody just did their own thing. And then Gandhi is, you know, he's respected as, you know, Hari Bal, plus he gets shot. So, hey, it all works out, you know, so you don't have to worry about it. So that's the point, is to say they want Ram Raja, everything materially perfect without Ram. But it's maturely perfect because Ram's there. That's the...
Prabhupada said one time to devotees, who's greatest, Gandhi or me? And nobody dared to answer. So he said, I'm the greatest. Because Gandhi got rid of the British, I brought them back and engaged them in Christian service.
Yeah, especially then, because it was more Brits.
Yeah, yeah.
I think because you didn't need a visa up to 84. That's why there were so many.
Yeah.
Any from the Commonwealth, they were all all here. Yes, I say his dancing white elephants. Such an aspiration, however, is never to be fulfilled. Good government can exist when the relationship between the citizens and the government is like that, exemplified by Lord Ramachandra and his citizens. Lord Ramachandra ruled his kingdom exactly as a father takes care of his children, and the citizens, being obliged to the good government of Lord Ramachandra, accepted the Lord as their father. So it was both ways. Not that he just dealt like that, but they also reciprocated like that. Thus, the relationship between the citizens and government should be exactly like that between father and son. When the sons in a family are well trained, they are obedient to the father and mother. And when the father is well qualified, he takes good care of the children. Right? So you're supposed to have both aspects. Right? As indicated here by the words Swadharma Nirata Varnashrama Gunan Vitaha. The people were good citizens because they accepted the institution of Varna and Ashram, which arranges society in the Varna divisions of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and the Ashram divisions of Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. This is actual human civilization. People must be trained according to the different Varnashram occupational duties. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chatur Varnyam Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhaga Shaha. The four Varnas must be established according to varying qualities and work. The first principle for good government is that it must institute the Varnashram system. The purpose of Varnashram is to enable people to become God conscious. Varnashramat Charavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Aradhyate Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 8:58. The entire Varnashram scheme is indeed to enable people to become Vaishnavas. Vishnur Asya Devata. When people worship Lord Vishnu as the Supreme Lord, they become Vaishnavas. Thus, people should be trained to become Vaishnavas through the system of Varna and Ashrama, as they were during the reign of Lord Ramachandra, when everyone was fully trained to follow the Varnashram principles. Okay. So we have, thus, the relationship between the citizens and government should be exactly like that between the father and son. And thus, people should be trained to become Vaishnavas through the system of Varna and Ashram, as they were during the reign of Ramachandra, when everyone is fully trained to follow Varna Ashram principles, right? So, they're following the Varna, they're trained in Varna Ashram principles, and from following that, then the relationship is going to be like that of father and son. That's going to be the point. Does that make sense? So, that's the whole thing, is you have the structure of it, and you have the relationship of it. That's the whole thing. You have the mechanics, and you're going to have the, you know, the experience, the mood, all these different things like that. Simply enforcing laws and ordinances cannot make the citizens obedient and lawful. Right? That's why we never agree to a bureaucracy can run things, because that's all they can do. They can't even enforce laws. They can simply make laws and ordinances like that. And if you're somehow or another submissive enough to accept their authority, then they'll try to enforce something. But if you don't accept, then they can't do anything. Yeah. That is impossible. Throughout the entire world, there are so many states, legislative assemblies, and parliaments. But still, the citizens are rogues and thieves. Good citizenship, therefore, cannot be enforced. The citizens must be trained. Right, so that's what we were saying before. They have to be trained in this. That must be established. How do you establish it? Through training. It's not by laws you can enforce it. It's through training. Good citizenship, therefore. Okay. As there are schools and colleges to train students to become chemical engineers, lawyers, or specialists in many other departments of knowledge, there must be schools and colleges to train students to become Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, Brahmacharis, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasis. This will provide the preliminary condition for good citizenship. Varnashrama gunan vitaha. So that's preliminary. That's what's necessary just to start. You have that training, they have that knowledge, then when they apply it, then you're going to get something. So preliminary is knowing it. Generally speaking, if the king or president is a Rajarshi, the relationship between the citizens and the chief executive will be clear, and there will be no possibility of disruption in the state, because the number of thieves and rogues will decrease. In Kali Yuga, however, because the Varnashram system is neglected, people are generally thieves and rogues. In the system of democracy, such thieves and rogues naturally collect money from other thieves and rogues, and thus there is chaos in every government. Right? So in other words, the government is thieves and rogues. They collect money from the populace, which is thieves and rogues. And then what's the result? More thieves and rogues. Right? And no one is happy. But here the example of good government is to be found in the reign of Lord Ramachandra. If people follow this example, there will be good government all over the world. So this is just that they just follow the Varnashram, then there'll be good government. You know, just the material situation will be proper. Then you have the aspect, if you want to go back to Godhead, then you do that as a devotee. Otherwise, you're just doing those things. That's nice. And that will make the world go nicely. But the real thing is that to do that in connection to Krishna, since you're going to so much trouble anyway. So that's the next point. So here is because then they're all focused on Ramachandra, then naturally it is Krishna conscious, so it works very well.
I'm just thinking, how can we introduce this educational system in the society if, you know, those who need an education, they're not interested because they just want to run around. And on the top, it's just too troublesome, so they're not interested either.
But
no training at all.
Yes, it's like what you say, true, it's too troublesome, but what's the alternative?
Just be like that.
That is one way to approach it. then, okay, you let that, whatever's on the top, go off with time and go back to Godhead. And then the next generations, then they can establish these things because they'll have more of a background. You know, like we were talking this morning about here in Mayapur, it's so big. And you have so many devotees. And within the Mayapur community, you actually have so many small communities. And much of the time within those communities, they have even smaller ones. Right? But now if you take the second generation in Mayapur, they have one community, even though they all come from different backgrounds. Right? Now, how much they want to take serious their own community. Some will be more serious about Krishna, some will less. But basically, there's one. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the whole point, is with time, it'll become easier. So it won't be as difficult. In the beginning, it'll be more difficult. That's why, you know, the pioneers and all that, it's more difficult. But then after that, with the generations, it becomes easier. So one doesn't have to worry that it won't be established. It just takes time. Culture is always slow. You know, you make the dough, you have to stick it out in the sun, you have to leave it, you know, like that.
Yeah. I understand that part of the culture.
Okay. So it takes time. It doesn't happen immediately.
I mean, 40 years, that's a lot.
Huh?
40 years, that's a lot of time.
But if you look at it, now, why was it 40 years? No. Because the previous generation had to die off, and only the younger generation could go in. No? Yes.
So we're following tradition.
Yes, so we're following tradition.
I mean, we can speed up the process.
No, because that means I mean, there was one particular, you know, in northern Europe who had that understanding of how to speed up this process. But, you know, it wasn't very appreciated.
Nothing is appreciated.
Yes. No, the whole point is that why it's so perfect is that even if nobody else takes it serious, if you take it seriously, you'll get the full benefit. It's not dependent upon others. That's what's so perfect about the system. So if you're serious, then you'll have, you know, a few friends and that who are serious, and then with that you can progress, whether anybody else is interested or not. That was that, you know, final words of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It says, don't be, you know, discouraged if no one else on the planet is interested in Krishna consciousness. You know, you just yourself know what to do, you go on. Okay. You know, and then there's always a few more people, so it's not that bad. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, Lord Ramachandra became king during Treta Yuga, but because of his good government, the age was like Satya Yuga. Everyone was religious and completely happy. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, O Maharaj Parikit, best of the Bharat dynasty, during the reign of Lord Ramachandra, the forests, the rivers, the hills, the mountains, the states, the seven islands, and the seven seas were all favorable in supplying the necessities of life for all living beings. When Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the king of this world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it. Lord Ramachandra took a vow to accept only one wife and have no connection with any other women. He was a saintly king, and everything in his character was good. Untinged by qualities like anger, he taught good behavior for everyone, especially for householders, in terms of Varnashram Dharma. Thus he taught the general public by his personal activities. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 54. Ekapatni Vrata, accepting only one wife, was the glorious example set by Lord Ramachandra. In those days, of course, people did marry more than one wife. Even Lord Ramachandra's father accepted more wives than one. But Lord Ramachandra, as an ideal king, accepted only one wife, Mother Sita. When Mother Sita was kidnapped by Ravana and the Rakshasas, Lord Ramachandra, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could have married hundreds and thousands of Sitas. But to teach us how faithful he was to his wife, He fought with Ravana and finally killed him. Lord Ramachandra accepted only one wife and manifested sublime character, thus setting an example for householders. A householder should live according to the ideal of Lord Ramachandra, who showed how to be a perfect person. Being a householder or living with a wife and children is never condemned, provided one lives according to the regular principles of Varnashram Dharma. Those who live in accordance with these principles, whether as householders, brahmacharis, or vanaprasthas, are all equally important. And so following the lifestyle given by Ramachandra, that, you know, sticking to the proper religious duties, whatever is expected, then by doing that, then everybody becomes glorious, like that. But his example would be especially significant for the grihasthas, because then you see the major of his pastimes was within the grihastha ashram, and then how he dealt and everything like that. So then that's why there. But his example will be equally valuable for everyone. Yes,
it's interesting that Dasharatha Maharaj is mentioned here, but he had like hundreds of wives. He had 300 wives or something.
He had three main and 300 others. But we only hear about the three main.
Yeah.
Like that. I think it's mentioned, you know, once or something. But yeah. Yes. But that's why I say it's very exemplary. So, you know, because it could have been they stole Sita and, okay, yeah, go get another one.
Let's go get another one.
Like that. But
oh, well.
He didn't. Yeah. Oh, well.
That's correct to say, because I heard that kings, they would marry more than one wife because they needed that inspiration to run the country. But Ramachandra was so exemplary that he only, like, he wasn't dependent on many women to run the country or to be.
Yeah, you could say. You could say. It means, in other words, that passion is greater than, therefore, more wives. But the point is it's not that it's just more wives, so therefore more sense gratification. It also means whatever is there with one wife, the sense gratification and the duties and all that that one has to be careful about. That means if he has a second wife, then it means you double that. Not that you just, okay, you have the responsibility of one, you just add sense gratification. So then if they have more, it just means adding that more. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just like, oh no, the passion they need, you know, but each one then they have to fully, as we described. One of the things that mentions in Manu, when the king, after the evening, you know, after his in the evening, he finishes his afternoon duties, you know, going out inspecting the army, the treasury, the, you know, all the you know, the horses, you know, whatever it is, that the physical place. Before that, it's law, and then in the afternoon, it's the physical facilities, like that. Then, having done that, when he comes back in the evening, after then meeting with, you know, any ministers or spies or anything like that to get any information he has to consider for what he wanted, you know, for the next, from the day or for the next day. Then, when he goes into the inner chambers, there's, each wife has their own area, but there's a general area that's still inside. So it's not outside, it's inside, but it's still general. So all the wives are there. He has to be able to say something to that, you know, in front of all the other wives, that is unique to that wife that the others can't complain about, said in a certain way, and then do that with each and every one of them. And then you can't do that the same one every day. Right? This is what we're talking about. You can do that, then hey, go for it. I mean, people have enough problem coming up with something for one wife, let alone... You know, so that's the thing. So it's not, people will talk about it. Yes, you know, the passion is, you know, that this is all, they're not catching the point. It's just that doing great things control. So therefore, there's more because it's just, you know, it keeps them engaged. But the point is that if you're Krishna conscious, then technically you don't need all that, because then all that extra time can be spent for your sadhana. Right, because your wife's going to take up how much time she takes up. Then that time that you would spend on all the other wives, that's for sadhana.
Wow.
You know, you have your occupation, right? Then you have, you know, then you have sadhana, because that's the grihastha have to deal with those three. Right? Yes.
Also, can we say that Dasharatha is mentioned because he got in trouble because of his wives? Also because he had to banish Ramachandra?
That yes.
He was attached to KK. That's what they say. In yes. My mind.
That's there. But it's also, you know, he has this duty that he says this and that. But she has done, because it's like this. When he went to fight with the demigods, I mean, for the demigods, she went along with him. So that means she would be much more, you know, far more left wing. You know, it's just like Satyabhama, you know, when Krishna goes out, you know, for some of these battles, she goes along with him, you know. Like that. Rukmini, you know, stays at home and like that, but, you know, Satyabhama says, hey, I'm going. You know, like that. So it's like, you know, you have to do battle and protect her, and she can just sit there and watch, you know, so, you know, so like that, to have that, so that means there's that greatness of affection, but also that much more in detail and more so engaging, like that. And so she'll be like that. You know, and so she did, you know, some very, you know, special work like that. You know, so then he gave her benediction like that, and then she, being clever, didn't take it then. I'll take it when I need it. You know, that's always the most difficult, because then you wait, and then you say, oh, I don't like this, so like that. It didn't work out for what's his name. No, I can't even remember his name. Yeah, I don't know how to say it. No Chinese here. Zhang Wuxi. He gave also three wishes. Didn't work out very good. Okay. Yeah, so therefore, that's why it's recommended, you know, it is a general practice amongst the Vaishnavas. They follow this Ekapatni Vrata.
We also
said
that Brahmins usually have one wife.
Yeah, generally. It's generally anybody in the Vaishnava tradition that does that. And then especially even, you know, even if you're going to go outside of that, then generally Brahmins would avoid, Kshatriyas might. Because you have to have the facility also. It's not that a whole bunch of ladies packed into a room. It's not, of course, you know, it's like you have this, what would you say? The Hollywood cliche is, you know, this monster bed and then this pile of ladies in the morning, and then the husband wakes up and piles through the ladies and that kind of. No, that's not the. No, they all have their own scene. Right, you know. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Mother Sita was very submissive, faithful, shy, and chaste, always understanding the attitude of her husband. Right? Because she understands what mood he's in, so she'll know how to act. It doesn't mean that she's not controlling him, but it's much easier to control someone if you know the mood than if you don't. Right? Why just try to control and you just go against what the mood is? It's much easier to use the mood, right? That's what you said. As we said, that's Aikido. It's already going in one way. You know, he's saying, big, huge guy is coming running at you, you know, putting all his energy, but if you just step out of the way and just give him a little tap on the back, he falls over. So it goes both ways. So, oh no, why submissive, this, that? This is how she controls. Right? But she's like this because he controls her through his proper behavior. His consideration, his sense control, his being focused on one life. Does that make sense? So it goes both. Thus, by her character and her love and service, she completely attracted the mind of the Lord, right? So that means she's in control. Srila Prabhupada concludes, as Lord Ramachandra is the ideal husband, Ekapatni Vrata, Mother Sita is the ideal wife. Such a combination makes family life very happy. Yad yad acharati shreshtas tat tat eva taro janaha. Whatever example a great man sets, common men will follow. If the kings and the leaders and the brahmanas, the teachers, would set forth the examples we receive from Vedic literature, the entire world would be heaven. Indeed, there would no longer be hellish conditions within this material world. Right, so therefore it sets here, if the kings, the leaders, the brahmanas, the teachers, like that. If they do this, then it'll work out for everyone else, because others will naturally follow this example.
Yeah.
So this is basically brahmanas and kshatriyas. That's all you mentioned.
Yes. Okay. Because if they do it, everyone else will then take that, and then they'll apply that in their own life, in their own sphere. Like that. So they're applying it for the everyone, and then those individuals will take that, and then they'll apply it within their there. Like the king, his world is the whole world. And for the Brahmins also, it's the whole world. So then for the individual members of the community, then they will take it and apply it within their sphere of influence. You know, their family, or, you know, in their community, or whatever it is that they have influence in. So it naturally goes down. But if the top doesn't do it, they don't do it. Right? Like I said before, if the top is only interested in their own sense gratification, then the general populace will also only be interested in their own sense gratification. So whichever it goes, then it will go that way. You know, I don't remember it coming across in the Bhagavatam. But I think it came across in... Bhagavatam, Mahabharata. Where the kings, I think it was after... Oh, yeah, no, it's after Parasaram. He destroyed all the Kshatriyas. Then, when they restarted the new race of Kshatriyas, then it was like Satyuga. And so then everything was so perfect, and everyone was doing their duties and everything so nicely, that even the animals were taking example for the humans and trying to improve their own standards in their life. You know? So you can even have influence on the animal. It means that, of course, they're only going to take the eating, sleeping, mating, and depending part, but at least they'll try to be nice about it. A little bit louder.
Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur once said that the preaching mission, when it will become more expanded, it will use the languages of animals, beasts, and plants.
Animals, beasts,
and plants.
And plants.
So we will get influence later.
So was animals, beasts, and on plants.
All the languages, the preaching mission will be going on in all the languages, in animals, within animals, beasts, and plants.
Like animals, beasts, and plants. No, all I'm just wondering, as I'm just saying, was he counting English for the animals or for the beasts?
Plants.
Oh, okay, for the mushrooms. Yo, shroom. Okay. Yeah, my shroomy. Right? Okay. Yes, animals, beasts, and plants. That's cool. Wow, just thinking. If you were giving a class, means, because you talked about plants, if you're giving class to the ants, you know, what we would do is, you know, a regular 45-minute class and everything. Like with them, it would probably take half the day.
Yeah.
No? Yeah. Okay, conclusion. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramachandra, is omnipotent because the Lord can act without regard to material impediments or inconveniences. But modern scholars, having doctors, have tried to prove that Lord Ramachandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person. Those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. They will accept the descriptions of Lord Ramachandra and his activities only as represented by Tattvadarshis, those who know the absolute truth. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advises, Tadvidi pratipatena pratiprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he's seen the truth. Right? So this whole concept that the modern scholars always have something to say about the Lord, the devotees, the Vedic tradition, that's been going on for a long time. It's nothing new like that. So we just take shelter of those who are the Tattvadarshis, who give us the proper direction, like that. We don't worry about the others, because they don't worry about each other either. They don't care either. You know? So why should we? Unless one is a Tattvadarshi, in complete knowledge of the absolute truth, one cannot describe the activities of the Personality of Godhead. Apparently, therefore, 5,000 years ago, there were many Ramayans, and there are still many but we must select only those books written by Tattvadarshis. Gyaninas Tattvadarshinah, Bhagavad Gita 4:34. Not the books of so-called scholars who claim knowledge only on the basis of a doctorate. To prove that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was not merely advertised as Godhead or elected by popular vote, he constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. This is proof of God's uncommonly wonderful power. Right, because it's said by popular vote, because there was a, Prabhupada put it, a foolish pujari, who some lady somehow or another was very enamored by his kind of non-standard behavior. So she decided he was must be God. So then in that village that they were in, then she took a vote amongst all the people, explained it and took a vote. And they all voted that, yes, he is God. And so then from that point, he became God. So that's what Prabhupada means, is, you know, not elected by, or elected by popular vote. Hence, the symptoms of the Lord's activities are all mentioned in the Shastra. And after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as he is.
Yeah, I guess Christianity started from that also. Because he never said he is God.
No. But he got in trouble for that, though.
Yeah,
it seems. It seems that everybody else. Yeah, that's the problem. No, because the whole point was just trying to establish the supremacy of the Lord. That's the whole point of the preaching mission. But the problem is the difficulty is the preaching mission is for uplifting the neophytes. But the problem with the preaching mission of uplifting the neophytes is the neophytes. Because
yes.
They make the trouble, and then, as it is, they end up in various states of existence, you know, the preachers.
But you know, Thakur says, finding a good teacher is easy, finding a good student, that's the hard
that's
part.
That's the hard part, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Number six. Plenty of gold and sari.
Those which will not be hidden and approved. Self-made answer.
Yeah. Oh. No. Okay. Yeah, it probably won't be that well. You go true, but wrong answer.
Did you want? Did you get this?
Chapter 11. Lord Ramachandra rules the world. Pratigya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not allow any of his devotees or assistants to be engaged in sense gratification. Because he knows how to show his favor to each individual person according to his capacity, Lord Ramachandra showed his favor to his brothers by ordering them to go out. The younger brothers of Lord Ramachandra were at home enjoying the personal presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Lord ordered them to go out and achieve victory all over the world. Those who are Kanista Adhikaris do not preach, but the Lord shows mercy to them also, as he did by staying personally in Ayodhya to give audience to the people in general. Therefore, the Lord is merciful to everyone, and he knows how to show his favor to each individual person according to his capacity. Right, so we'll see is that Prabhupada defines that for those who are beginning in Krishna consciousness, being in a stable environment is the most important until one becomes steady. But once one becomes steady, then taking on some aspect to assist in the preaching of the mission, then that's considered better. Like that. One's always trying to do that. Chapter 11, but the Lord knows how to deal with everybody, so everyone according to the position he deals with, so that they all nicely advance. Chapter 11 summarizes questions and answers. Maharaj Parikshit asked Sukadeva Goswami, question 11.1 of Srimad Bhagavatam. 11.1, how did the Lord conduct himself, and how did he behave in relation to his brothers? Who were expansion of his own self, and how did his brothers and the inhabitants of Ayodhya treat him? Okay. So we see is that it's not just he's the Supreme Lord, you know, he's established the, you know, the rules of Varna, but how did he deal? What was the mood? You see that Arjuna asked the same similar kind of question. Once he learns about spiritual life, then that first thing he asks is how to behave in such a situation. How does such a person behave? Because that's then what we can, you know, we nicely then take that mood, that attitude. So that's very important. The knowledge is there. As we said, you have to get that knowledge from the proper source and be trained. Then, by seeing the mood, then you know how to apply it. So that's the important thing, is that culture. So, Srila Sukadeva Goswami gives a reply to question 11.1 in the last section of chapter 11. Ayodhya Prakashika. This chapter... Ayodhya Prakashika. Ayodhya. Yes, Ayodhya Prakashika. Yes, what do you call it? The Prakash, giving the illumination on Ayodhya. Yes, okay. And it also, this chapter describes how Lord Ramchandra resided in Ayodhya.
Technically not wrong.
Yeah, yes. With his younger brothers and performed various sacrifices. Okay.
Should we change it?
No. Yeah, that's pretty far out. Huh?
Ayodhya is here down.
Yeah, no, but just it's so far away and still it catches. That's unimpressed. I said about Yaya Prakashika, I said Ayodhya Prakashika. And I didn't even notice. You know, I'm just going on and then everyone starts laughing. You know? So, okay.
It's good at least we notice.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody notices. Yeah, and then there's a kid over in the court. Didn't anybody notice?
Hello.
Yeah. Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, performed various sacrifices by which to worship himself. And at the end of these sacrifices, he gave land to the Hota, Advaryu, Udgata, and Brahma priests. Right? You see, so this is the standard thing. Mm-hmm. It's always so in every age and every whichever kalpa it is, whichever manvantara it is, whichever age it is, it's always the same. So we can see is that this is just standard. It's not that Prabhupada just pulled this out and it was one example, but this is just the way they work. He gave them the eastern, western, northern, and southern directions, respectively. And the balance he gave to the acharya.
What's the balance?
What's in the middle? Lord Ramachandra's faith in the brahmanas and affection for his servants was observed by all the brahmanas, who then offered their prayers to the Lord and returned whatever they had taken from him. They regarded the enlightenment given to them by the Lord within the core of their hearts as a sufficient contribution. Yeah, so here is, he's given and they gave it back because the mood is right. You know, the problem is when somebody thinks, yeah, I'll do this, I'll impress everyone, gives it all away, and then everyone goes, thank you.
Thank you.
And walks off, yeah. So then it's a problem. Lord Ramachandra subsequently dressed himself like an ordinary person and began wandering within the capital to understand what impression the citizens have of him. So when he says ordinary person, it's still, that's one of the 64 arts, is to be able to dress up in a way that nobody can recognize who you. And when it says, that means even like friends and stuff. It should be, you dress up, walk in on your friends, and they can't tell. Then you know the art.
That's good. Right? What if you're tall like me?
That's it.
Not that I want to be a king. I mean, maybe that's a connection. Yeah. I always wanted to be
a thing with horns.
Now, what could you miss?
Yeah, I was going to mention that, but I can't remember who it was. There was someone, I think he got a... I'm not sure, I think he got a... Academy Award or something like that. He did this the whole thing. He was playing a midget, so he did the whole thing on his knees. But they had but it wasn't that from the back. They actually tied his legs up, in that. You know that one?
No.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I know the trick.
Yeah. So, but the whole thing. So that means all the shoots like that. So it'd been very painful. So it does work, and people. people are impressed. Yeah. Come on. Then they really wouldn't know. By chance, one night he heard a man talking to his wife who had gone to another man's house. In the course of rebuking his wife, the man spoke suspiciously of the character of Sita Devi. The Lord immediately returned home, and fearing such rumors, he superficially decided to give up Sita Devi's company. Thus, he banished Sita Devi, who was pregnant, to the shelter of Valmiki Muni, where she gave birth to twin sons named Lava and Kush. In Ayodhya, Lakshmana begot two sons named Angada and Chitraketu. Bharata begot two sons named Taksha and Pushkala. And Shatrughna begot two sons named Subahu and Shrutasena. When Bharata went out to conquer various lands on behalf of the emperor, Lord Ramachandra, he fought many millions of Gandharvas. By killing them in the fight, he acquired immense wealth, which he then brought home. Shatrughna killed a demon named Lavana at Maruvan and thus established the capital of Mathura. Meanwhile, Sita Devi placed her two sons in the care of Valmiki Muni and then entered into the earth. Upon hearing of this, Lord Ramachandra was very much aggrieved, and thus he performed sacrifices for 13,000 years. After describing the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra's disappearance and establishing that the Lord appears for his pastimes only, Sukadeva Goswami ends this chapter by describing the results of hearing about the activities of Lord Ramachandra and by describing how the Lord protected his citizens and displayed affection for his brothers. Shloka Anusharana, verses 1 to 7. Lord Ramachandra performs various sacrifices. 8 to 24, Mother Sita enters the earth and Lord Ramachandra returns to his abode. 25 to 36, the opulence of Ayodhya. Verses 1 to 7. Lord Ramachandra performs various sacrifices. Sukadeva Goswami said, thereafter the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, accepted an acharya and performed sacrifices, yajñas, with opulent paraphernalia. Thus he himself worshipped himself, for he is the Supreme Lord of all demigods. Because all the worship that's being done has to be worship of Vishnu, so technically he's worshipping himself. Srila Prabhupada comments, Sarvahanam Achutejya. If Achuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is worshipped, then everyone is worshipped, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 4.31.14. As pouring water on the root of a tree nourishes the trunk, branches, twigs, and leaves, and as supplying food to the stomach enlivens the senses and limbs of the body, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead satisfies the demigods who are part of the Supreme Personality. And so, the whole point that was given before, we see in Vedanta Sutra, and that was practiced by the great personalities, you know, the Manus and that, is that they would perform these great yajñas, but it was about worshipping Vishnu. That was the whole thing, trying to satisfy Vishnu. And in this way, they could see everyone in connection to Vishnu. And so all the demigods are part of Vishnu. Yes?
You said that Lord Ramachandra worshipped himself.
Yes.
But can we also say, because he was, even though he's Barabasa, and he was displaying different moods, so he was not worshipping himself as such?
No, it means he wasn't worshipping. It says, thus he worshipped himself. It means he's performing the yajñas, just performing the yajñas, but technically what we're saying is he worshipped himself. Because it means who else he's supposed to worship. In other words, he didn't worship the demigods or someone else. He's worshipping Vishnu, because that's what you're supposed to do.
But he was worshipping himself in a different...
Yes, he wasn't worshiping. He wasn't doing a Ramachandra yajna. He would have been doing some, something to please Vishnu. Like that. Yeah. So technically he was worshipping the expansion of himself. Like that. But, yes.
It's the same. In Dwarka, it is said that Krishna performing his morning duties, he sat and meditated on himself.
Yes, because otherwise who else do you meditate on, right?
But I guess he was just meditating on his, past times or whatever.
Yes, like that. He would do that. Because it's said I think we were in, I don't remember, I think it was in Tirupati. They were talking with one of the Pujari or something like that. Came up. They were discussing about the room where Balaji sleeps. In that room, there's all pictures of Braj pastimes, and there's mirrors on the ceiling, and the whole thing. It's all set up for Vrindavan kind of mood. And so it's that's and someone else once I was standing in the line. And we're going to see Balaji or Venkateshwar, but everyone's going Govinda, Govinda. And I ask him, why Govinda? He says, because Balaji likes to hear the name of Govinda because he likes remembering his pastimes with the cows.
Yeah, they're always shouting.
Yeah, yeah. So, so that's the thing, is even though they're Vaikuntha Wallas, they know that he likes remembering these pastimes. So to please him, then they say Govinda.
Yeah. I guess Jagannath, he also, they dress him in Git Govind outfit for the night.
Yeah, that and then also sing. I'm not sure. I think in the evening, everybody goes and sings like that. In Guruvayur, where Shankaracharya established the worship, so it seems he did for Puri and in Guruvayur. And in Guruvayur, at every offering, they sing Gita Govinda. You know, so the six offerings a day, they sing Gita Govinda. I'm not sure if they sing outside of that, but at least those ones I know. So it's interesting. Shankaracharya established this really nice worship.
The family deity of Lord Ramchandra is Ranganath.
Ranganath.
Till Lord Ramchandra, they worship Ranganath. Then he gave Ranganath to Vibhishan. And he came to that place, which is...
And where did the deity start, you said?
From Ayodhya, he was taking Vibhishan.
No, but I'm saying down to... But who started?
Lord Brahma.
Lord Brahma. Okay, so Brahma, then it came down
to...
Then it came down the Sun Dynasty to Ramachandra. Okay. Then when he gave it to
Vibhishan,
then he got tricked.
Why he was tricked? Because he wanted to carry the deity to Lanka.
Yeah, he's going to take the deity to Lanka. But there, he said he would go, but you can't put me down. Then he had to go to the bathroom. So then, I think it's Ganesh. Is it? Ganesh, or someone came as a brahmachari. He says, here, hold this. Because it was to Ramachandra, he's only that big. He was, you know, just a small, you know, on the hand, kind of like that. So he asked his brahmachari to hold him. And so then the brahmachari's holding, goes to the bathroom, and he's taking some time, and then the deity starts getting heavy because the deity wanted to stay. So they put him down. And when he came back, then he got very upset. So I think he bonked him on the head. So there's something from that.
I will see towards the Lanka.
Okay. He will see towards, okay. He will see in that direction. So. Yes.
And Vibhishan comes daily. Next
he comes daily. Okay. Cool. Very good. Is there a certain time he comes?
No. Early mornings.
Well, I mean, there's a time then it's known he comes for darshan. So everybody stays out of the way.
Pujari said he comes early morning, you know,
when
no devotees around.
Oh, okay.
So he walks through the ocean.
Perfect. Okay. Early morning means...
He's one of the Chiranjeevs, right?
Yes, he's Chiranjeev. One Kalpi he'll rule, but he's Chiranjeev. So he'll live to the end of Brahma's life.
He looks like a Rakshasa, or like a normal human being. I'm influenced by the cartoon.
I have no idea. But it doesn't matter which way he looks. He's a devotee. So he's cool. You know? Yeah. Yeah. He could probably come down and, you know, fit in a lot of places just for fun, you know. Yeah, so many, you know, we're all people. You know, the alternative group. He could just come and sit down there and hang out for a while, you know, and walk off. Yeah. Okay. Did we read that?
Yes.
Okay. Performing yajna involves worshipping the Supreme Lord. Here the Supreme Lord worship the Supreme Lord. Right? So it doesn't say worship Ramachandra, you just worship the Supreme Lord. Therefore it is said, Bhagavan, Atman Atmanam Ijay. The Lord worshipped himself by himself. This does not, of course, justify the Mayavad philosophy by which one thinks himself the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The jiva, the living entity, is always different from the Supreme Lord. The living entities, vibhinamsha, never become one with the Lord, although Mayavadis sometimes imitate the Lord's worship of himself. Lord Krishna meditated upon himself every morning as a grihastha, and similarly Lord Ramachandra performed yajnas to satisfy himself. But this does not mean that an ordinary living being should imitate the Lord by accepting the process of ahangraha upasana. Such unauthorized worship is not recommended herein. That's why also for, how you say, we generally don't use mudras on ourselves, these nyasas on ourselves, because you're saying the mantra and putting it on the hands or on the parts of the body. It's a standard part of the Pancharatrik worship, but the Gaudiyas don't use it. You know, one is this aspect of ahangraha upasana. But it's not, because it's a bona fide Vaishnava thing, but it's also just that Vaikuntha mood, so we don't use it. But generally, it's this point is mentioned. So they're saying they put the mantra and then they become the deity. No, you put the mantra, become spiritualized so that you can function on the same level with the deity. Means you can be servant on a transcendental platform, serving the transcendental Lord. Okay, yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Lord Ramachandra gave the entire east to the Hota priest, the entire south to the Brahma priest, the west to the Advaryu priest, and the north to the Udgata priest, the reciter of the Samaveda. In this way, he donated his kingdom. Thereafter, thinking that because the Brahmanas have no material desires, they should possess the entire world, Lord Ramachandra delivered the land between the east, west, north, and south to the Acharya. Thus, after giving everything in charity to the Brahmanas, Lord Ramachandra retained only his personal garments and ornaments, and similarly the queen, Mother Sita, was left only with her nose ring and nothing else. 23. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura remarks, Ram gave away all ornaments and clothing except what he was wearing, whereas Sita gave away even the ornament she was wearing. Only her nose ornament and bracelet remained. Right. So just the things that would be technically connected with, like if she's married or something like that. So she kept that. I think that was the thing with Nila. It means in the Tirumangai. When he came, because he was a dacoit. He was the personification of the Lord's sword. But he was living life as a dacoit. And then one day, that's right. He somehow, this girl appeared, and he wanted to marry this girl, very, very beautiful girl. And he came to her and said, "Ask if she would marry him." And she said, "I'll only marry you if you feed 1,000 Vaishnavas every day for a year." Right. So then, you know, that piety. So. You know, so that's you know, serious, because you know, you do feed the Vaishnavas, feed the Brahmins. You know, it's not that you're giving them all, you know, a couple of pieces of mudi in that. You know, you have to feed very nicely, opulently. So that took a lot of money. So then, he'd go out and collect the money, steal the money, whatever. So because of him doing this and feeding all the Vaishnavas, then the Lord was very happy. So then one day on the road where he goes out Sankirtan, then Lakshmi Narayan, they came, you know, in the chariot, they're coming by. So much opulence. So when he sees this, it's like bingo. Okay. And so he comes up to them and, you know, he comes, okay, give me all, you know, like that. So they take everything, but then everything's given, but I think it was Lakshmi's toe rings. Like that. And he says, "Hey, you haven't given the toe rings." And he says, "My husband put those on for my marriage." So he says, "You want those, you have to take them off yourself. I'm not touching those." So then he goes up to take them. So finally he's down there, he's got his teeth on them, you know, he's trying to pull them off. But then by, you know, touching her feet, then he realized who they were, right, you know. And then, then he surrendered, then he became a Vaishnava. So that was it. And then what happened to the girl, nobody knows. It seems she came just to turn him into a Vaishnava, so. Like that, because he didn't end up marrying that girl. So it just, then he went on, and then he went to, you know, Sri Rangam and did this. Then he built the wall, like that. Yeah, that wall's still there. You know, the third wall, It's huge. Big, fat wall, and 20 feet high. That wall goes all around the main compound. That's his wall. That's a big wall.
They don't let tourists beyond that wall. Oh. Vaishnavas can go, but tourists, they can't go inside.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they explained to us. They said, you're welcome, but, you know, tourist people just up to that level.
That's right, okay. Wow, that's fine.
Even a tourist should go the same.
Yes, you know, it's Sri Ranga Bay. Yeah. Oh well. Okay. All the Brahmanas who were engaged in the various activities of the sacrifice were very pleased with Lord Ramachandra, who was greatly affectionate and favorable to the Brahmins. Thus, with melted hearts, they returned all the property received from him and spoke as follows. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 5. In the previous chapter, it is said that the Prajas, the citizens, strictly followed the system of Varnashram Dharma. The Brahmins acted exactly like Brahmanas. The Kshatriyas exactly like Kshatriyas, and so on. Therefore, when Lord Ramachandra gave everything in charity to the Brahmins, being qualified, wisely considered that Brahmins are not meant to possess property to make a profit from it. The qualification of Brahman are given in the Gita, 18:42. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahmins work, right? So these qualities, like this, then they work with these qualities, right? So if one has these qualities, that is how a Brahmin works. So if you do any activity with these qualities, that becomes Brahminical work. Right? Does that make sense? And very important. Bhagavatam teaches this, right? The Vaishnavas understand this. Others don't understand. The Brahminical character offers no scope for possessing land and ruling citizens. These are the duties of a Kshatriya, right? Drona then took half the kingdom. He was acting in that way. But, you know, it's not advised. But for the pastime, then, it was going on. But it's not advised. Right? Because that will then drop him down into, basically, passion. The Brahmin, he does all his personal Brahmin lifestyle and that. But because of that. So then when they're working that with the kings, it keeps them in the mode of passion. They may be in passion of passion, goodness of passion. But when they take up their own duties, that puts them in ignorance of goodness or passion of goodness. Like that. The Brahminic, okay. Therefore, although the Brahmins did not refuse Lord Ramachandra's gift, after accepting it, they returned it to the king. You know, so it was not all this, no, yes, 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 no. It wasn't all that kind of stuff. It was, they accept it because he's giving it, then afterwards, then they, you know, give it to him. You know, for that. After accepting it, they returned it to the king. The Brahmins were so pleased with Lord Ramachandra's affection towards them that their hearts melted. They saw that Lord Ramachandra, aside from being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was fully qualified as a Kshatriya and was exemplary in character. One of the qualifications of a Kshatriya is to be charitable. A Kshatriya, or a ruler, levies taxes upon the citizens not for his personal sense gratification, but to give charity in suitable cases. Dhanam Ishvara Bhava. On one hand, Kshatriyas have the propensity to rule, but on the other hand, they are liberal with charity. When Maharaj Yudhishthira gave charity, he engaged Karna to take charge of distributing it. Karna was very famous as Datta Karna. The word Datta refers to one who gives charity very liberally. The kings always kept a large quantity of food, grains, and stock, and whenever there was any scarcity of grains, they would distribute grains in charity. A Kshatriya's duty is to give charity, and a Brahmin's duty is to accept charity. But but not more than needed to maintain body and soul together. Therefore, therefore, when the Brahmins were given so much land by Lord Ramachandra, they returned it to him and were not greedy. Right? Or you see, is that they give charity to the Brahmins, they give, you know, 10,000 cows like this. They accept the charity, and then they go and distribute to other Brahmins. Like that. So they'll keep how many cows they want and then give. And then the next guy, you know. So you give the, you know, so you keep, let's say you keep 100, then you give 9,900 the next guy, and then he keeps it like this until it goes down. Like that. The Brahmana said, "O Lord, you are the master of the entire universe. What have you not given to us? You have entered the core of our hearts and dissipated the darkness of our ignorance by your effulgence. This is the supreme gift. We do not need a material donation." Srila Prabhupada comments. When Dhruva Maharaj, Durvasa Maharaj, I said something's wrong here. Okay, Dhruva Maharaj was offered a benediction by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he replied, "Oh my Lord, I am fully satisfied. I do not need any material benediction." Similarly, when Prahlad Maharaj was offered a benediction by Lord Narsingadev, he also refused to accept it and instead declared that a devotee should not be like a vainik, a mercantile man who gives something in exchange for some profit. One who becomes a devotee for some material profit is not a pure devotee. Brahmanas are always enlightened by the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart. Sarvasya chaham riti sannivishto matas sarvam no matas smritir gyanam apohanam cha. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. And because the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are always directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are not greedy for material wealth. What is absolutely necessary they possess, but what they do not want... What is absolutely necessary they possess, but they do not want an expanded kingdom. An example of this was given by Vamanadeva. Acting as a brahmachari, Lord Vamanadeva wanted only 3 paces of land. Aspiring to possess more and more for personal sense gratification is simply ignorance. And this ignorance is conspicuous by its absence from the heart of a brahmana or a vaishnava. Right? So they have the same qualification. Right? That's why I say brahmins and vaishnavas are in the same category. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "O Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have accepted the Brahmanas as your worshipable deity. Your knowledge and memory are never disturbed by anxiety. You are the chief of all famous persons within this world, and your lotus feet are worshipped by sages who are beyond the jurisdiction of punishment. O Lord Ramachandra, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto you." Yeah, so these personalities have elevated themselves up to like the liberated platform and that. These ones, they're worshiping him. And so therefore, what a special position he's in. Verses 8-24. Mother Sita enters the earth and Lord Ramachandra returns to his abode. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Once while Lord Ramachandra was walking at night incognito, hiding himself by a disguise to find out the people's opinion of himself." Right, because he has spies that go out. He has ministers who also, you know, go out. They have their spies. So he knows so much. But still, the king has to check himself. He can't just sit there and not check. That's why it said a blind king can't be king. Because how does he know what's there? You know, there could be nothing there. He could be sitting out in the middle of a football field and they're all Maharaj, you know, this and that, you know. He doesn't know what's going on. So that's the whole thing, is that, you know, they take him down to the stadium and he hears all the cheers and all that. See, Maharaj, they all appreciate, you know, when somebody makes a goal. Yeah, you know, like this. So he doesn't know. So that's why he has to be able to go out himself. So then here, that's one of the things. Occasionally they go out themselves and check. Does that make sense? So he has his people that are getting information, but he goes himself. So this idea you just sit in your room and just get emails and memos and that doesn't actually work. He heard a man speaking unfavorably about his wife, Sita Devi. Speaking to his unchaste wife, the man said, "You go to another man's house and therefore you are unchaste and polluted. I shall not maintain you any more. A henpecked husband like Lord Ram may accept a wife like Sita, who went to another man's house, but I am not henpecked like him, and therefore I shall not accept you again." Sukadeva Goswami said, Men with a poor fund of knowledge and a heinous character speak nonsensically. Right, so it's not that it's right, but he fears that these people will speak like this, and this way then, you know, send themselves to hell, and then anybody that they associate with. So, yes.
Sorry. But him sending Sita to the forest will not bring more, a better talk about him. She was pregnant, he abandoned her first, he took her.
No, but these kind of people, they're going to...
Say anything anyway.
Yeah, anyway. But the point is that at least they're not going to find fault in what he's doing, you know, in following his dharma. Because then she's going to an ashram, she's taking care of that. The kids grow up in the ashram, they're trained there. The Ramayana, then it's opening, it's Love and Kush, they're singing the Ramayana to Lord Ramachandra. That's the...
But they don't know who he is.
No, they don't know who he is. That's the fun.
Because it appears, you know, it's a little bit of overreacting.
But the whole point is we've seen before us, is that he just comes up, he's going to be crowned king, and then sent to the forest, and then she disappears and all that. So that mood of separation. So again, here that aspect of separation. So there's that point of tasting that aspect.
Because in the whole Ramayana, this is the most inconceivable part. Why would he do that? It's really...
inconsistent.
But it's in keeping in line with the rules that, you know, you perform your duty and you have... The king should be above suspicion. What's that saying? Caesar's wife, it has to be
Caesar's
above suspicion. Yeah. You know, so that kind of a thing.
And he took her first. Or he took her back and then...
Because she was, but then if nobody said anything, there's no problem. But if someone says something, then, you know, some adjustments made. It's the Lord's pastime, because that's you always see is that his standard. It means he's there, then it creates that loving mood, then there's that separation, and that's being tasted, you know, so like that. You know, Krishna's in Vrindavan, then he leaves, goes to Mathura, and doesn't go back. So it's the same kind of element of that taste.
About that test, the fire test.
You should have told me. You go in the fire, and if you come out cool, then if you don't, then problem solved. Right? Fearing such rascals, Lord Ramachandra abandoned his wife, Sita Devi, although she was pregnant. Thus, Sita Devi went to the ashram of Valmiki Muni. When the time came, the pregnant mother, Sita Devi, gave birth to twin sons, later celebrated as Lava and Kush. The ritualistic ceremonies for their birth were performed by Valmiki Muni. Homage Prickett, Lord Lakshmana, had two sons named Angada and Chitraketu, and Lord Bharata also had two sons named Takshika and Pushkala. Shatrughna had two sons named Subahu and Shrutasena. When Lord Bharata went to conquer all directions, he had to kill many millions of Gandharvas, who are generally pretenders. Taking all their wealth, he offered it to Lord Ramachandra. Shatrughna also killed a Rakshasa named Lavana, who was the son of Madhu Rakshasa. Thus he established in the great forest known as Banu Madhuvan, the town known as Mathura. Being forsaken by her husband, Sita Devi entrusted her two sons to the care of Valmiki Muni. Then, meditating upon the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra, she entered into the earth. After hearing the news of Mother Sita's entering the earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was certainly aggrieved, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Upon remembering the exalted qualities of Mother Sita, he could not check his grief in transcendental love. The attraction between man and woman, or male and female, always exists everywhere, making everyone always fearful. Such feelings are present even among the controllers like Brahma and Lord Shiva, and is the cause of fear for them. What to speak of others who are attached to household life in this material world? Footnote 24. Srila Prabhupada writes in verse 17, as explained above, when the feelings of love and transcendental bliss from the spiritual world are pervertedly reflected in this material world, they are certainly the cause of bondage. As long as men feel attracted to women in this material world, and women feel attracted to men, the bondage of repeated birth and death will continue. But in the spiritual world, there is no fear of birth and death, since such feelings of separation are the cause of transcendental bliss. In the absolute reality, there are varieties of feelings, but all of them are the same quality of transcendental bliss. Right, so there in the spiritual world, then this masculine and feminine principle is being applied in relationship to Krishna. It's used as a medium to serve Krishna. So it's not about the medium, but it's the medium of which the relationship is shared. The rasa is tasted. So there, then, all the different activities that go on then are glorious because it's all devotional service. Right? But here, the same mechanics are there, how to interact, how to deal. But the difference comes is whether it's used to please Krishna or whether it's for oneself. So someone's self, it's sense gratification for Krishna, then that's devotional service. So actually the problem is not the male, female. The problem is how it's used. So as long as we're attracted to male and female on this side, then we'll stay here. But as soon as we give that up, then we're attracted to, you know, to Krishna. Then we can go to that side where then everything is, you know, all the cultural levels and everything is all practiced just to please Krishna. So that's why the form that's there is what's practiced here. So these same examples that are used on the transcendental platform, they also give the proper example on the material platform. So some will think, oh, well, this is philosophy. You know, what's the practical? No, this is the practical. It's just a matter of the difference is this is the mechanics, then it's a matter of the attitude, the consciousness. The consciousness is Krishna conscious, then that's what it becomes. But what is mentioned, how one deals, this is the proper way of dealing. Because you're engaging the recommended activities in the Lord's service. Yes?
So Ram Lila is the closest to Krishna Lila, because although there's Swakya, but also a lot of the Pralamba is there.
Yes, yes. No, yeah, it's more similar to that. So, yes. Because you see, Sringadeva then has a different flavor. He's there, but he takes care of the place like this. Then Lord Chaitanya, that will be also.
Yeah.
So then Krishna, Ram, and Lord Chaitanya, these three. So that's why it said Bhuj, same kind of mood. You know, then it, as a different pastime, he takes the form of Ramachandra.
Yeah.
You know, like that. And I don't think he had to take the route of Balaram because Nityananda was there to do that.
Yeah, he was constantly
Balaram and Nityananda.
Yeah.
So it's already going on.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that Mahaprabhu is not accepted, in India as wide as Rama and Krishna.
Yes.
But he's just accepted certain areas.
Yeah, not because he's hidden on the top.
Yeah.
So they don't know. But for us, that's why these are the major festivals.
Yeah.
That's why then, you see, is on the part of us, except for Balaram. No, Balaram also. Fasting is until moonrise. But all five, it's all five, except Krishna goes to midnight.
But Balaram is till noon.
Till noon?
Yes.
Not till evening?
No.
Unless they change it soon.
Oh, okay. Well, then he's the only.
Ramachandra is also, they, you know.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes. It's supposed to be because of Paravasta till sunset.
But
he appeared at noon.
Yeah.
You know, some say, no, but he appeared at that time. No, he appeared at noon. But because it's Paravasta, we generally fast until moonrise.
But Nrisimha also appeared at noon. They fought till the dusk.
Yeah,
but he didn't appear at dusk.
Yeah, but that's when he killed him because that's the point. Is Paravasta generally it's up till then, and others then till noon. No, like Krishna, because till midnight. Kinds of interesting things going on. Okay. Something else is there. No? Okay. After Mother Sita entered the earth, Lord Ramachandra observed complete celibacy and performed an uninterrupted Agnihotra Yajna for 13,000 years. After completing the sacrifice, Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet were sometimes pierced by thorns when he lived in Dandakaranya, placed those lotus feet in the hearts of those who always think of him. Then he entered his own abode, the Vaikuntha planet, beyond the Brahma Jyoti. Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur comments to verse 19. He placed his feet pierced by thorns in the hearts of devotees not situated in Ayodhya. Let them faint, being pierced by thousands of thorns in their hearts. Thus it seems Ram did not have compassion for them. This is an example of Vyaja Stuti, criticism meant as praise. Srila Prabhupada adds, the lotus feet of the Lord are always a subject matter for meditation for devotees. Sometimes when Lord Ramachandra wandered in the forest of Dandakaranya, thorns pricked his lotus feet. The devotees, upon thinking of this, would faint. The Lord does not feel pain or pleasure from any action or reaction of the material world, but the devotees cannot tolerate even the pricking of the Lord's lotus feet by a thorn. This was the attitude of the gopis when they thought of Krishna wandering in the forest with pebbles and grains of sand pricking his lotus feet. This tribulation in the heart of a devotee cannot be understood by karmis, jnanis, or yogis. There's something very serious is going on. The devotees who could not tolerate even thinking of the Lord's lotus feet being pricked by a thorn were again put into tribulation by thinking of the Lord's disappearance. For the Lord had to return to his abode after finishing his pastimes in this material world. So it appears that it went like that, you know, as he said here. What is it? Let them faint, being pierced by thousands of thorns in their heart. So thinking of his feet. But the point is it sounds like it's a negative, but it's actually a positive. Because they were so absorbed in him, because of that, they were so worried about him that those devotees, he placed those lotus feet in their heart so that they could remember and always be absorbed in him. Yeah? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Chaitanya Gaura Premanandini.